Hello and welcome to Addiction Talk. We have another great episode for you tonight. We have Max Crosby with the NFL player with the Las Vegas Raiders. He actually just came back from practice, right? Doing all of that. And he decided to come in tonight because we wanted to have a special chat with Max because this is Alcohol Awareness Month. And he's been very vocal as of yet about sharing his story. So, Max, I want to welcome you to the show tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it.
So first, everybody wants to know, I know you have practice tonight. What has it been like? What have you been up to lately? Let's just get a quick recap there.
Yeah, you know, this is it's my favorite part of the year. You know, just the training, you know, the training season, getting ready. Building up my body, my mind, everything, getting ready for another season. So, yeah, this is where, you know, the plays are made and everything. It's in the off season, you know, getting ready. So it's been incredible. You know, it's starting to get hot out here in Vegas. So getting to run in the sun and, you know, get after it with a lot of new teammates has been incredible.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I think about you, you're such a role model for so many athletes, one, just of your career trajectory, but even just in when we look about how vocal you've been as of yet with your addiction struggles. And so tonight we're going to delve into that a little bit deeper. Some people may have heard your story, or this may be their very first time hearing from you. And I know alcohol was one of the things that you struggled with. So take me back. I want to go back to the beginning for you. When did you first start experimenting or, you know, drinking alcohol?
Yeah, you know, I was, I believe I was a sophomore, in high school. Towards the end of my sophomore year, I started partying a little bit, just with friends and things like that. And I instantly knew, like, I wasn't the same. I didn't know, like, necessarily, oh, I'm an alcoholic, but, like, I never could just have a couple drinks. I never could just, you know, be like everybody else and relax. Like, every time I drank, like, I fell in love with it. I loved it because, you know, it just brought like confidence and it just changed my mindset. Cause you know, growing up, I was a very insecure, you know, I was a middle child, very insecure, you know, just always, I never was like first for anybody. It felt like just in my own head. So when I first had that first drink, I was like, oh my God, this is like my savior. I can go up to the girl who I think's beautiful and go have a conversation with her. And like, just little things like that. So yeah, you know, I feel like I knew from day one, you know, drinking, I couldn't just drink like everybody else. And just over time, progressively, you know, got worse and worse.
And so you said you had this moment where you realized that. Was that because you said you couldn't stop once you started, or just you realized how much you loved it? Or what was that clue for you that you were a little different than your friends?
Yeah, you know, I think it was both, to be honest. You know, you're not supposed to throw up every time you drink. It's definitely not a normal thing. And then, yeah, on top of it, like, I loved it. Like, I became dependent on it. And, like, through high school and college, like, I was able to get by with my bad drinking because I didn't necessarily have the time to do it all the time because I was constantly busy and I was in sports. But when I would drink, it was always over the top. And I was always that guy blacking out and always doing, you know, dumb things. So, yeah, it just over time, I noticed all the bad decisions I was making in my life all revolved around drinking. So, yeah, it kind of hit me after a while, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I can only imagine, because as you were doing this, you know, you're drinking, but at the same time, you're going towards a promising career. I mean, in high school, I know you were, you know, people were looking at you, you know, you're looking to go to college and things like that. So how did it start to impact you, if at all? Did it impact your performance? How did it impact your game at all?
Yeah, you know, it just, like, deep down, I always had a strong belief on, like, my true ability, like, as an athlete. And I never had that yet. Like, I never fully experienced that because I was always, like, once I got into my, you know, my high school years, my college years, I had that crutch of I always was drinking and I was always, you know, there's always something holding me back as far as partying and doing stuff and a distraction. So it was like, I never really got to truly see how good I could be. So yeah, I feel like it definitely affected, you know, not only my off the field life, but just my career. Cause I just, you know, I didn't know how good I could truly be, you know, with alcohol as an athlete. Your body is your temple. So like, I wasn't treating my body like a temple. I was constantly, you know, losing sleep, constantly out, you know, doing things like that. So yeah, it took a long time to get there, but I'm, you know, finally starting to see, you know, how good I can be.
Did you ever have any consequences during those years, you know, those early years before even you made it to the NFL and you got to the point of realizing, hey, I need to get help for this? Were there consequences along the way? I know you talk about your body being a temple and knowing that, you know, to be at peak performance, you know, you need to do certain things. But did you notice anything in terms of repercussions?
Yeah, just, well, from an off the field standpoint, in high school, I got suspended for smoking. I got caught. In college, I got a DUI from drinking and another alcohol offense. I got caught with alcohol on campus and things like that. So, yeah, you know, it was a never ending cycle. It just like, okay, I got in trouble. Then, all right, I'm gonna stop for a little bit. I'll get motivated, get my thing, you know, get back together. And then boom, I'd go. It was just like constant, never ending. And it just over time, it got harder and harder every time to come back from a mistake. And that's just it, where it got to a point where it was just like, you know, I can't keep living like this. It won't last. You know, it won't last long.
Mm-hmm. So you had in your mind that this is not going to last. And there were times, I remember hearing some parts of your story, which I thought was really interesting, a time where you got that DUI and it almost, like, that could have been career ending for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I got in a scary crash. Could have hurt myself, could have hurt, you know, other people as well. You know, but that's just, you know, I stay grateful every day because of situations like that. And when I look back, or if I ever have an urge or think about, you know, I feel, you know, all my teammates are doing it. It's like, no, like at the end of the day, they can do what they want to do, but I know I'm a little bit different and that's okay. And at the end of the day, it's just like, you know I have a lot of people that look up to me. I have a lot of people relying on me. And I hold myself to a certain standard, and it's like, addiction is number one before, you know, my addiction is the most important thing. My sobriety, like taking care of that, is more important than anything, because none of this would be possible, you know, being able to, you know, financially provide from not only myself, but, you know, my little girl that's coming, my fiance, family members, things like that. Like, I can do that and not have to worry about it anymore. It's like, there's a lot of things that come with it. But it's just, you know, through hard work and dedicate myself to my sobriety, because without my sobriety, I don't know where I'll be right now, to be honest.
Wow. You know, I think that is such a telling tale, because so many people don't realize how quickly their drinking can get out of control, end up impacting their life. Like you said, you had a DUI and just different things that you experienced. But for so long, people were looking at you from the outside, Max, and it seemed like you had it all together. Did very many people even realize that you were struggling, or were you able to just really conceal it?
To a certain point, you know, I feel like, you know, obviously friends and certain family members that were around me often knew, you know, obviously that every time I drank, it was always, I was over the top and I would stay out longer than everybody. It was just always a constant theme. But they didn't really know. The only person that truly knew how bad it was getting was my fiance, because she was there with me, before I did anything in football and anything like that. So we got together like my redshirt freshman year of college. We've been together ever since. And like, she was with me every day. So she really got to see like how bad it was. And a lot of people didn't even believe her. Like, and that, and looking back, like that's a, you know, like I look back and, you know, you have your regrets and things that, you know, you have to fix. And that's definitely something I look back on and like, damn, like I feel terrible, because like I was telling everybody else, like, no, she's crazy. Like, I'm fine. But she was the only one that really knew how I was doing. And like, I was out of control. And it's like, you know, just certain things like that. It's like, you look back and you're like, damn, like I've really come a long way. But it's just like, it's still an everyday process. So it's, yeah, it's something I definitely, you know, I'm grateful for that she's still in my life. You know, she doesn't have to be with me after, you know, what I put her through and what she's seen. You know, it's like, you know, you truly appreciate those moments. And, you know, that's all I can really say about that.
Yeah. Was there like a low moment that you remember? Like, I know you said there were a lot of low moments, or was there anything that stands out in your mind?
Yeah, well, there's a ton. Obviously, you know, a DUI, there's a lot of things I could think of. But like the day I got sober, you know, I was supposed to, like, I had issues. I was here alone in Vegas, like literally by myself, drinking every day. This is after my rookie year. And I knew deep down, like, this wasn't going to last long. Like, I had to do something. Like, something's got to change. And at that time, I was separated from Rachel. We were not together at that time. And I had a lot of people in my corner, my agent. I had a lot of people reaching out and were like, you need to get help. You need to get help. And I knew deep down, like, I know I need to get help. Like, this is not normal. I'm not okay. I just need to start from scratch. And like, I was at a very low, low point in my life. But I, even though I didn't want to go to rehab, I didn't want to do any of that. Like, I knew I needed to. And like, I had stayed sober for like 10 days because I knew they were sending some people out. They're going to take me to rehab and things like that. And I was sober for, I think, 10 days. And then the weekend hit and I ended up going out again. And I wasn't going to drink. I didn't plan on it. Went to a fight and then boom, I took one drink and that led to like another 3-day, you know, binge. And yeah, so it just led to, that was my last streak. And then it was over with, but it was, you know, at the end of the day, I knew like there was no more. I woke up that morning. I got picked up and taken to rehab. Like I woke up that morning, like bed full of sweat. I looked at myself in the mirror, like, I remember this moment, it was like a movie, but, like, I woke up, my bed was filled with sweat, I felt just horrible, I was so dehydrated, my toes and fingers, like, were cramped up, like, I was looking at myself, and I didn't even recognize who I was looking at, and, like, it was a scary moment for me, because, like, I've never been at that point, where, I was sick with myself, but, yeah, it was the best decision I ever made, was taking that step, and be like, all right, I know I don't want to go to rehab and go somewhere for 30 days by myself. Like I was so against it, but it was the best decision I ever made.
Why do you think you fought it so hard?
I think just like deep down, like before you're going to a rehab, like you have that thought in your mind, like that, how am I never going to drink again? Like that doesn't even sound possible. And like, yeah, like it was, I was just always fighting that, like, well, how am I going to do this? Or how in this situation, how am I going to, there's no, but then it came back to me. I'm like, this is not going to, I won't live if I keep doing this.
You really feel like you were close to dying? Like you wouldn't, when you say you wouldn't live?
Just at the rate I was going after a few years, like, yeah, like, I don't know. It could have been a few, you know what I mean? I was just out of control. So I don't know. But like, I just felt so horrible, like just physically, mentally. I was in a just low of all lows. So it's like, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But like, I knew it wasn't sustainable what I was doing. I was drinking every day. I'm a professional athlete and I'm by myself. Like it was a scary, scary place to be. But yeah, you know, it was the best decision I ever made, was leaving and just trusting, you know, the people around me. I got to see Rachel right before I went to rehab. She came out here and I had no idea. It was just like, yeah, a lot was happening at once, but yeah, it was the best decision I ever made. I went to rehab for 30 days and then ended up going to a sober living right down the street from there and stayed the rest of the off season out there in LA. So yeah, I stayed, it was like 4 or 5 months where I was in a program of some sort with people I didn't know, but just staying and doing that, like after doing that, I was like, okay, if I could do this, I could, you know, I could stay sober. And I just, you know, stuck to the process and, you know, just took it one day at a time.
Well, you know what I think is so interesting is that I wonder, you know, we're hearing your story, but there's probably a lot of athletes who are struggling. Do you feel that there are many athletes that we never hear about, NFL players and stuff like that, who are struggling just like you are, but because they're able to still kind of function, that they're kind of sliding under the radar?
Obviously, I don't know for sure, but I know there's people out there going through what I'm going through. There's a lot of people in the NFL. There's a lot of, you know, just professional athletes in general. So yeah, you know, I know I was able to hide it for 2 years. So it's like, as you know, being a pro, I was able to hide it that long. So it's like, yeah, you know, obviously there's always going to be people who are struggling. That's, you know, that's why I feel like I was obligated to like talk about it, because, you know, I've had situations where I have people that I'd never expected in a million years that I would have them come to me about addiction and things like that. And I've had those conversations. So it's like, it's a blessing in disguise, you know. Now, you know, at this point, like, I'm still getting, you know, I still have a ton to grow personally. But now I have, you know, the ability to tell my story and give back and help people, you know, that are going through exactly what I went through.
If there was anything you could tell the NFL or just, you know, creating an environment where more people feel or more athletes feel like they can come forward, what do you think we need to create to be able to have that type of place for young athletes such as yourself who are coming in or who may be struggling? What would be, you know, just your words of wisdom from going through it yourself?
Yeah, you know, I got to give a ton of credit, you know, to the Raiders with how they handled the situation. And like, I've talked about this before publicly, but just the way they handled the situation was incredible. Like, I was terrified of talking to my coach. Like, I had just come off a year where I was, you know, like a runner up for rookie of the year, and, you know, everything seemed great, but like, some of my coaches didn't even know what I was going through. And like, having them calling me and I'm in a rehab, like, they're like, what is going on? And, you know, the way they handled it and took care of me was, you know, something I'll always appreciate, you know, with, you know, from Mayock to Gruden to all those guys. They helped me out a ton. And even our new staff, like, just them reaching out to me, and, you know, they came in and immediately it's the first thing they're saying, just like how impressed they've been, you know, obviously knowing my story and where I came from, and just giving me like, if you need anything, we got you. Like, and that's, that's something as an athlete and as grown men, we're in such an alpha male business. And like, I feel like I carry myself as a player, like an alpha. But at the end of the day, you can't carry yourself like that in every life situation, you know, because I'm not afraid to say that I'm not perfect. I'm not afraid to say, you know, I'm not I'm not a perfect person. I've been through a ton, had a lot of ups and downs, but like, I'm happy with myself when I go to sleep. And I know a lot of people back in the day, like when I was going through it, I used to tell myself and act like I was, oh, I'm good. Oh, I can do it. I can handle it myself. Oh, that, you know, it was toxic behavior. And like, I know a lot of people going through it as well. So it's just like, that's why I try to shed my light. Cause yeah, I play in the NFL. I'm in a Pro Bowl, but I don't need to act like a tough guy off the field. Why do I got to be a tough guy? I'm just telling you the real. And like, that's what I try to do, is just shed that light and be realistic. Cause a lot of people are terrified to really share what they're going through. Cause everybody, regardless if they have addiction or anything, is always going through something that they're hiding and that we don't know of. So like, that's why I just try to be real and just, you know, put my story out there and be as transparent as possible.
No, I love that. The fact that you said you're trying to be real, because I wonder what gave you the courage to tell your coaches? Because I don't think you necessarily had to, right? So what's going through your mind that you said, I'm going to be transparent with them, because you're in off season?
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, they, you know, there was a few people in the building that kind of had an idea like that I was going through something, and that they knew there was kind of an issue, but they didn't know the extent exactly. But the thing for me, it was like, I don't want to be hiding from anything anymore. Like, I was always trying to hide, showing up to the building and trying to get in the sauna and, you know, sweat it out. And like, things, I was always like looking over my shoulder, and like, I was so done with that. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna come in here, I'm gonna put everything out on the table. You can accept me or not, but this is who I am. This is what I'm going through, and I'm going to get better and I'm going to change. And I told everybody in that building from literally top to bottom, and my agent and my fiance, everybody, I'm like, listen, you got to give me a chance. Like, I'm going to make this happen. I know I'm mentally strong enough to do it. I know I have good people in my corner. And I just had to commit to it. And like, it's still to this day, it's not easy, but it gets a little bit easier every single day. And I can go to sleep with a clear mind, and I'm happy about myself, and I can look myself in the mirror and be proud like of who I am. Like, I've never been that. I've never had that in my whole life. And it's definitely.
Well, wait a minute. So you said for the first time in your life, you feel proud of yourself.
Yeah. Like, I don't give myself credit. And like, Rachel always gives me a hard time about it because I'm such a hard critic of myself. But like, yeah, I'm proud of who I've become, and like I'm proud of the steps I'm taking as a man. And I know I'm not perfect still. Like I'm okay with saying that. Like I used to be like try to keep everything in line and no, I'm taking care of this. Don't worry about it. I'm good. Like no, like I'm still there's still struggles every day, no matter what. But I'm happy with the person I'm becoming, and I know I'm gonna be. So it's just like gives me more inspiration, you know, not only as an athlete but as a person. And like, yeah, I'm still like even as a kid, like I was always insecure. I was always scared of, I don't even know. I always had fear of failure, fear of letting people down. I never felt like I was the best at anything, but deep down, like I knew I could be that. Like, and that's what motivated me. Like that, it was a part of my me getting sober. It was like, why am I wasting my potential when I really have one chance at life? Like, what am I doing? So like, yeah, like it's crazy. And like, I still have so much room to grow. And that's what keeps, you know, continuing to push me every single day.
Mm-hmm. Take me back to the decision to finally go to rehab. Because you had been trying on your own. Like you said, you went this 10 days of, you know, not drinking. So what was that final catalyst that said, okay, I'm going to do this and I've tried it on my own? Because a lot of people, I think I can do this on my own. And you tried.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tried multiple times. But, you know, I'm not going to say it's impossible because there are people that have done it, but it's very, very unlikely to stay sober and not work a program because it's hard. Life is already complicated enough, and dealing with addiction is one of the hardest things on earth. You look at it just statistically, I think it's 5 to 10% of people that go into rehab, things like that, stay sober. So the odds are against you out the gate. So having people around you that are good influences and sponsors and things like that, that helps me a ton. And I know as an addict, I always cared about myself and I cared about Max before anybody else. And once I just had to humble myself and go and like, all right, I'm going into a rehab. Like this is a humbling experience to say the least. And going in there, just accepting it for what it was the best thing I ever did. Cause it's like, you start from ground zero. It doesn't matter what you do, what my status is, whatever. Like you're in a rehab because you got a problem. Like you're out of control. You have issues. Like,
right.
And I admitted that, and like I needed to do that so badly and get that off my chest. Cause I know when I was in college, I had to get sober because my coach wanted me to stay sober because I got in trouble and that was his challenge. Like you can't drink. Blah, blah, blah. But I wasn't going to 12-step meetings and I wasn't doing things like that. And the second I was released, it was my last college game, whatever, I'm done. The first thing I did when I was free was immediately take another drink. So it was like, I knew that wasn't going to work for me. And then it was just the cycle repeated and eventually got to a point where I'm like, all right, either I'm going to ruin my career, throw it down the drain, or like, this is it. Like, this is my coming to Jesus moment. It's just like realizing, all right, this is the time. Like I have no other option. And I could easily just say, screw it. Like, and just be a normal dude and drink and whatever. And, you know, keep going where I'm going, which wouldn't have lasted. Or, all right, I'm gonna buckle down and find a way.
Right.
Yeah. Work the program, find a way, and just do it one day at a time. And it's definitely been working for sure.
And I know people talk about the one day at a time thing. Yeah. How challenging is it though? You are in the NFL still. I can only imagine the party scene still, mm-hmm. you know, people around you. How do you navigate that now?
Yeah. You know, I think just having the correct circle around you is number one, you know, honestly, like just having the right people around you is everything. Because a lot of people say it all the time. It's like you become who you associate yourself with. And for me, like just my circle alone has changed so much since I've gotten sober. Just in these last 2 years, it's gotten so much smaller. And it's just, I got a few, you know, few friends, I got some family, but majority of my days are me, fiance, my dogs, and I got a baby girl on the way. So it's like my circle is number one priority is my home, who's in my home, who I live with. And like doing that and keeping it simple, instead of having a million friends and trying to fit in and do all that, like that just doesn't work for me. So yeah.
So does that mean you like avoid partying or do you still go out? Like, I'm just curious how that has looked since, you know, you're almost on 2 years of sobriety.
Yeah. Like the last time I was in a club was a year ago and I had friends in town and one of our, you know, favorite rappers was in town. I was like, all right, it'll be cool if I take my buddies out. But yeah, it's like, it was different. It was definitely weird being in a club, like sober, but it was still fun. Like I love music. You know, I'll smoke a cigar, you know, I'll do that. So yeah, it was a good time, but like, I'm not going to the clubs. Like I've literally gone to a club maybe once or twice in the last 2 years. But I know like I have to have my people around me and things like that. And, you know, it just gotta be a cool situation or something where I can enjoy the music and stuff. I'm not just like, I feel like if you're in that party scene enough and you're around it enough and all the time, eventually you're going to want to drink and want to party, mm-hmm. be like everybody else. So like, yeah, it's not that I'm like scared to go in a club, but at the same time, like
you're using wisdom.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, listen, I'm not going to be here often. You know what I mean? So yeah, there's definitely, you just got to find a balance for sure.
Uh-oh. I think you went out there for a second. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, I can hear you.
Max, can you still hear me? I think you went out for a second, or one of us froze or something. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. I got you.
Okay, good. So what would you say are the top three things that have helped you in these 2 years of sobriety? If there was any advice, I know you talked about having the circle and who you hang out with. I know you talked about mentors and sponsors, but are there other things, maybe two or three things that you are doing to work your program that you would impart to someone else who may be in the midst of their own recovery journey?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously excluding those things, I think like number one is like having a true purpose, and something to live for every day. Like I used to live for like, all right, I'm gonna get through football, I'm gonna get through this so I can go home and smoke and drink and do that. Like now, like I feel like my motivation is completely different. I go to work every day excited, and I'm excited to go in the weight room and do that because I know I'm getting better, and that's what pushes me. I want to be the best athlete I possibly can be, best player. So it's like, that's a part of it, just having that motivation and purpose. And, you know, for somebody who's not an athlete or something like that, whatever it is that you enjoy in life, everybody has something that they enjoy and love and do something. Like, I always try to encourage people to just do what you want to do. Like, at the end of the day, do whatever makes you happy, like, and chase that. Because if you put in the proper amount of time and dedicate yourself to something, I don't care what it is, you can make it happen and find a way. And that's kind of how I move and how I believe in myself. And I try to tell that to younger guys, like you can do anything you want if you just sacrifice little things that you normally wouldn't want to do, or the normal person doesn't necessarily have to do, but just doing it like mentally, just to show yourself like, oh, I can put that away. I can put a little mm-hmm. extra time.
So that finding that purpose you found was just really big. That
yeah,
purpose.
Just, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm about to be a dad too. Like that's a part of my purpose. Like,
well, congratulations. That's yeah, huge. That's like, a purpose right there.
That's a big purpose. So yeah, like no matter what, you know, obviously it's different. I'm talking from a football perspective, but just, yeah, whatever it is in general, like I think that's huge. Like having a purpose to live, like life is a lot bigger than, you know, the party scene and drinking and stuff. Like there's so much more to life. And I didn't realize that until I started, you know, getting sober. Mm-hmm.
Well, as we kind of wrap up this conversation, I have a few last questions for you, Max. And one of the things, I know we have the NFL draft coming up, right? So if there are other younger players out there who are getting ready to participate in the draft or getting ready to go into the league, what do you hope they will take away from your story? If there was one message that they got from your story, what would you hope that would be?
You know, that's tough. Honestly, everybody's story is different. Everybody comes from a different background. Everybody comes from a different, you know, ethnicity, everything. Everybody has a different way that they've gotten here. But coming to the NFL is a whole different lifestyle that most people don't even understand. And like coming in, I think being at my age, I'm 24 years old, and realizing what works for me works, and it's changed my entire life. I think that's what guys got to realize when they come to the league. It's not over once you make it. Like, that's my dream. I made it to the NFL. Now I get to, like, for me, when I came in, it was like, all right, this my dream has just started. And that's how I feel like guys got to, you know, that's what separates guys, is coming into the league motivated, ready to change your family, not only your life, but your family's life and your family's kids and kids' future. Like, that's, I come into it, you know, I came into it just motivated to change lives, not only inspire people with my play, but also with my, you know, obviously my story, but like having the ability to not only impact people emotionally and like inspire, it's like you have the chance to truly like help people in need and help people financially and things like that. So that's something I never could imagine, you know, being where I come from. Like, I didn't grow up in a family that was very, you know, wealthy and things like that. I didn't come from a perfect background, but I knew deep down if I truly dedicated myself and found my reason, like I could change lives. And that's what pushed me every day.
And, you know, I think the biggest thing that you said that really hit me, Max, and I'm going to ask you this, and as we wrap up, is you said that you don't have to be strong in everything. And that admitting that you had a problem, being willing to get help, I think that is a huge message for so many athletes and for people, or even just general people, hearing that today. Is that one of the things that you said that really touched me, is that it's okay to get help. It's okay not to be perfect. It's okay to struggle. We all have some secret, you know, that maybe we are dealing with. So before I wrap up, I have to ask you, any NFL draft predictions? I can't have you on the show and not ask you what you're thinking, because I know you might have some insight you wanted to share.
Honestly, I have no idea what's about to happen. I know we don't have a first or second round pick, so we'll see what happens. You know, obviously for me, I was a fourth round pick. My man Hunter Renfro was a fifth round pick. And, you know, we've, you know, had some good years in our NFL career so far. So honestly, my advice to everybody, you know, coming into the draft, it doesn't matter where you start, where you finish. So just excited, you know, hopefully, you know, I believe in my guys, Josh and Dave, they're going to bring in some great players. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah. So final question for you tonight. You've always bet on yourself. You know, I think about you as a young athlete, even though you said you struggle with insecurities, it's like you continue to bet on yourself. So what are you betting on yourself now? What can we expect from you?
I always, after every season, I look back and I take, you know, some notes of where I'm at, what I liked, what I thought I did well, what I thought I didn't do good enough. And I kind of reflected, and like, you're 100% spot on. Like, I've always bet on myself. And my mom told me, since day one, my mom always told me, you can make it to the NFL, because I was telling her, like, I'm gonna do it. My dad, he didn't necessarily understand it. He's like, you know, the odds are, and my mom's like, you're gonna do it, blah blah blah. And I always truly believe that, because if you already have doubt going into something, you're already setting yourself back. So my future is, I'm worried about tomorrow when it gets here. I'm worried about today. But I'm just maximizing my 24 hours every single day, and what comes from that, we'll see. But you know, I'm trying to be the absolute best I can be.
And life and sobriety, how would you sum it up in one word?
I would say clarity.
Ooh.
I see things a lot more clear these days, and it's special for sure.
Special. I love that. Well, Max, it has been so great talking to you. Thank you so much for being transparent and sharing your journey. I know that you're going to continue to inspire people, and we wish you all the best. And that's going to do it for another episode of Addiction Talk.
Thank you so much.